6, or 5 rather, verse 9. We're going to read that same scripture and review quickly and then go into something else I feel like will be a help to us tonight. And it's good. It's good to see everyone that's here. God bless you for coming. I know some have come for families that's being baptized, and we appreciate that. And we do want to pray that God will make it meaningful unto them and to us. Most of all, honor God. Give God glory. Boy, I like that song, He's All That Matters. He's all that matters. We go through a whole lot of other things, but He's all that really matters in a life. If you miss Jesus in your life, you missed everything. And I was talking to an agnostic one day, at least that's what he said he was. And I said, well, you don't know, and you're not doing anything about it, and you don't know what's going to happen. I said, suppose I'm right, and you're wrong. You've lost everything. If you're right, and I said if, because I know you're not, but if you were right, I hadn't lost a thing. It'd make a bit of difference. And he scratched his head and walked off. But at least he thought, amen. You just think about that tonight. You put it off for whatever reason you put off getting saved for. And well, what? You're the loser, not the Lord, not Christian people, but you are. And it's our desire that you come to know Jesus and not be the loser, but be the winner. They sing that song on the winning side because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Let's stand, please, while we read together. Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. But much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the young folk that just sang for us, and thank you, Lord, for the choir and then all that's been done and said and prayed and testified. Here tonight, we give you praise and glory. Ask God that you help us for a few moments to preach, and then I pray for those who will be baptized tonight. God, you bless them and help them, encourage their hearts as they make a step of obedience unto thee. Then I think of those tonight that need Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And I pray the Holy Spirit bring conviction, draw them by your power. We'll give you the glory for what you do. I ask you now to touch us for a few moments to think and be able to preach. And Lord, we realize the devil's our adversary, and we're no match, but we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus and claim that victory in Jesus for His glory and His honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we began a message talking about, and when we talk about being saved, people ask you, what, saved from what? And then we told you about the word itself. It means deliverance. If we say, if a lifeguard sees somebody drowning and they go out and get them, we say they saved their life. And what do we mean? They delivered them from death. And so here, that's the sense in which this word is being used, is the deliverance. And I titled the message this because I didn't know what else to call it. Save from what, by what? And I thought about some things that God just laid on my heart that were saved from and what by. And here in the scripture I just read that we talked about this morning, we're saved from the wrath of God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that blood? Amen. Somebody said this morning they love anytime you're preaching about the blood. Amen. I like to mention the blood. Anytime you mention the blood, I believe God is honored and pleased with. Amen. There is power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved tonight, that blood's been applied yonder in glory for you, and you can come and trust Christ and be saved tonight. And I praise God for that privilege that you have. Turn with me, please, into 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 21. We'll touch on this again tonight just briefly. And going to baptize, so it's a good time to touch it again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, the like figure. And I again mention the like figure. It's a type, picture. Whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is, now baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And baptism water doesn't save you. And it doesn't make you right with God because you are being baptized. You got to go in saved and you'll come out saved. But if you go in unsaved, you'll come out unsaved. Baptism doesn't save anybody, but it is a picture. And tonight, as we go into the water, and as those people that are going to be baptized, as they are put under the water, brought back up out of the water, pictures death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also pictures a death unto themselves and died and buried with Christ, raised walking in newness of life. Paul said, I count myself dead. Amen. I die daily, he said. And this is a picture that a person has repented and believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and following him in baptism is an act of obedience, showing forth the death, burial, and resurrection. And that is a very foundation of the gospel. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. He was buried. He rose from the dead. And thank God for the reality of that. And because he did, I had the privilege to come to him and trust him for what he did for me at Calvary, and then by faith accept him, and then follow the Lord in baptism. And you're here tonight, and you've never been saved. You've never been born into the family of God. I pray tonight, God speak to your heart. God draw you by his power. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you, following God is a simple act of faith. It's stepping by faith and believing God. I believe a lot of people, when they step out from the pew, when they start down the aisle, they're already breaking their will to the will of God. And when they get, amen, some get saved coming down the aisle. Some get saved at the altar. Some maybe even get saved later, getting thinking about it, and make that true step of faith and believe and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the grace of God that brings you. The power of the Holy Spirit convicting you. It's grace. God could let you go to hell and he be just as holy and just as he ever was and not have a thing to do with you or me. But thank God for amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And I say hallelujah for the great truth of that. Well, the water baptism, you understand what we're saying about that. And it'll be a privilege tonight as we do baptize. I count it a joy and a privilege to do so. And I thank God for it. And I remember gathering at a creekside. I remember gathering at a riverside. You remember down at Miller River, we used to baptize down there. You baptized in the creek. My grandpa's behind the church where I grew up. And it was a wonderful thing to gather out. And people would sing. And people would shout and praise God. And somebody got saved, somebody being baptized. We've got the place today. If we're not careful, we take it for granted. We take for granted that we're having a baptism just because we're doing it inside and in a baptistry. And by the way, the baptistry tonight will feel a whole lot like a river and a creek because the heating element went out. It heated yesterday, but it went out sometime between yesterday and today, and the water's right cool. And so when they go in tonight, they're going to think they stepped into the river and the creek or whatever. And I've stepped in the water so cold it took your breath. But then you get to baptizing and think about God and what he did. It got real warm real quick. Amen. And what I'm saying to you tonight is you don't have to be beside of a river. You don't have to be beside of a creek. I don't know where the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. It was in a desert. It had to be some kind of an oasis. It probably wasn't a running river, but he got enough water to get in, get out. And I say to you today, just because we're doing it in a baptistry inside the church building, that doesn't mean you can't shout and praise God and thank God at the same time. Amen. Fact is, I like gathering around when we baptize and just say hallelujah and praise God. It's good. And I rejoice in it. I know I've got to get. I like it because it tells me somebody got saved and somebody got right with God. And I was just talking to Brother Vitale just before service, and I have to think about his name and get that. But we was talking before service, he and Miss Lana, and as we talked, we were talking about being saved and born again and knowing Jesus. And And it's so good to see young people come to know Christ and that they know they're saved and want to follow God and do what God says. And I say hallelujah. I praise God for that. Then for Michael and his son, and I appreciate that. And I praise God for the reality that they're going to follow the Lord in baptism and be obedient and do what God said to do. And I say rejoice in the truth of it. Well, the third thing I talked about was saved from defeat by spirit and by the scriptures. By the spirit of God, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And the scriptures God gives to us tells us about resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Submit yourselves. And so he tells us in scripture what to do. Jesus answered the devil every time he tempted him by the word of God. And it'd be good for us to hide enough of the word of God in our hearts so that when we're tempted, we can quote it to the devil and have victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. And aren't you glad when the devil comes along with some temptation, you can come back with him? That God said, with every temptation, you make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. Because God's faithful, not because of us, because he's faithful. And he'll do that for his children. And I say hallelujah and praise God. But I want to show you something tonight. And I like this one. We're saved from being a baby by growing up. Hallelujah. Well, you say, preacher, what are you shouting about? Saved from being a baby by growing up. I'm not talking about babies in flesh. I'm talking about babies in spiritual matters. We need to grow spiritually. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Babies want milk so they can grow thereby. And when you get saved, you need the milk of the word so you can grow thereby. I want you to turn with me in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start reading at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Even as babes. He said, you're carnal-minded, and we'll speak to you as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now, yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men. I am so grateful for the unity that we have here at Gateway, but I know the devil always trying to mess that up. He'll do everything he can to stop it. Every person that ever gets saved, the devil will try to keep you from growing in the Lord. The devil's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He'll try to keep you from getting saved. If you're lost tonight, the devil will do everything he can to talk you out of coming down the aisle, giving your heart to Christ, being born in the family of God. He'll do everything he can to keep you away from Jesus Christ and being saved. Then after you get saved, he'll do everything he can to keep you from growing as a Christian. He wants you to stay a baby in Christ. He doesn't want you to grow. He can't get you to be lost after you get saved, but he sure can mess with you and keep you from growing and try to hold you back and keep you from maturing as a Christian. And if, well, Ariel, little Josie, she must be back there. I don't know where she is. She's sick. Okay, she's sick. But Josie tonight, somebody's keeping Josie, but Anna's baby. In Lily? Lila? Well, close enough, Lila. When I get the first letter right, I'm doing good. Lila. She's growed since we'd seen her. And when Anna came down with her, but if she wasn't growing and she stayed the same size, and it went by a year, and she still was getting milk and not eating anything at all from a baby food or off the table, and then 2 years old, and still she had taken the bottle, wasn't eating anything, and just kept taking the bottle. And then she got 3 years old, she was still taking the bottle, not eating anything. You say, there's something bad wrong with that child, and she needs some help. And what about spiritually? As we grow in the Lord, we ought to grow up, amen? And God help us. Now, I'm just going to touch on this just for a little bit. I don't have time to do a whole lot of preaching on it, but I'd like to say just a few things about this. A baby, you know what they'll do? A baby will pout on you. They don't get their way, they'll pout. Yeah. Amen. That's good preaching in a Baptist church. Amen. They'll pout and act like, boy, you hurt me. Amen. I'm going to pout a while, and don't you mess with me. And don't try to talk to me. Don't try to touch. You know, just leave me alone and pout and say, I didn't get my way, so I'm going to puff up about it. That's how babies do. And if one's got a toy, that baby will want that toy. And if they get that toy, then the baby gets somebody else there with them gets another toy. Then they'll throw that one down and want that one. They want whatever the other one's got. Amen. And that's how it is about Christian people that stays babes in Christ. They're always wanting something somebody else has got. Well, they got to teach a class, or they got to sing a song and I didn't, and I, amen. Or they got to preach and I didn't, or they got to do something and I didn't, and they were recognized, and I did as much as they did, and they didn't recognize me. And you know what I'm talking about? That's good preaching, even when I'm doing it, amen. And babies like pacifiers. If they're not sucking on the bottle, they want a pacifier so they can suck on it. You know why? They got to be the center of attention. They got to have something they want. It doesn't make any difference what's going on around them. They have to be the center of attention. And so anyway, if you're still a baby in Christ, I hope tonight you can kind of lay that bottle aside, get a hold of a big hunk of meat, and go to gnawing on it. Amen. And I'll tell this on air. I wouldn't tell it on anybody, but I'll tell it on her. I've seen her in a restaurant gnaw the bone. I mean, you talk about a girl needing anything put before her. She'd gnaw the bone. Now, she'd separate it. She wouldn't want to eat anything together. She'd separate it. She'd eat a whole meal and then eat some dessert and then get some more vegetables and something else to eat and go off that. And if it come down a bone, if it had any fat on it especially, she'd gnaw on that for good. We ought to be that hungry for God. We ought to be that hungry for the things of God. We ought to really have a hunger to grow in grace and get a hold of the real meat of the word and let God help us. Amen. Everything's not going to go your way. Everything's not going to go my way. Everything that happens is not going to suit me or you or my wife don't please me all the time. And I sure don't please her all the time. Y'all look a little funny. Like your home is everything just perfect. Never anything out of the way. Don't you look so funny, Mark. He told Mark Shields to bring him back something for Pam when he went to California. And because Pam been good to him through all this and said, bring her back something. And Mark Shields told him he wasn't a plane big enough to carry what to take to pay her back. I said, amen. They not. But I'm glad we can be saved and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow up, amen, and be a strong Christian for the Lord. And we need to grow up and be that. And then being saved from untrustworthiness by truthfulness and clean speech. Wouldn't that be good? Amen. I want you to turn with me, please, into James chapter 1, verse 26. James 1, 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Then in James chapter 3, I'm starting at verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. That is, he's a mature, grown-up man. If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. That's right. Said we put bits in horses' mouths, and I won't read all that for sake of time, and we turn the horse with that bridle and put that bit in his mouth, and turn it, and ship with a small hem, you turn it, and said the tongue's like a small, and even so the tongue is a little member, verse 5, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And then it talks about every kind of beast being tamed. But verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Then talks about a fountain sending forth sweet water and bitter, and said that ought not to be. It ought to be sweet water or bitter water, one or the other. And he's talking about our tongue. And I don't know how you feel about yours, but I know that if it wasn't for the grace of God, your tongue gets you in a whole lot of trouble. Amen. I'm glad that God helps us with our tongue, and we can bring it under control and be truthful and share what God wants us to share and say the words we ought to say and do that. Over in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, beginning there, these six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven is an abomination unto the Lord. And what God calls an abomination is an abomination. He said, a proud look, a lying tongue, amen, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, and he that speaketh lies, by a false witness speaking lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And I say, we ought to take heed to that. Amen. It's good to have a clean mouth. It's good to use your tongue to bless God, to praise the Lord, to give God glory, give him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And bring the tongue under control. And you can't do that by yourself. It'll take God helping you to do that, or your tongue will get out of control, and it needs to be brought under. How do I, preacher, how do I get my tongue under control? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we have victory over defeat. Same way of victory over our tongue. It's letting God help our tongue. What would Jesus say, and what would Jesus do in that case? We get real mad and say things and we ought not to say, and we do things we ought not to do with our lips and our tongue, and we ought not to do that. And I've said this many of a time, when we're talking about saying the word God or Lord, we ought to be talking about God or to God, and we ought to be talking about the Lord or to the Lord. Amen. And don't use his name in vain. Don't use it as a byword. He's not a byword. He's an eternal God. Amen. And we need to take heed to that and use our tongue to bless the Lord. I say praise God for the tongue that we can use to bless the Lord. And you say, preacher, I don't have any problem with my tongue. You probably would lie about something else too. Most all of us have some problems sometime or other about our tongue. It's not always cursing or using bad language. It may be in the fact we hear something, we don't know whether it's the truth or not, and we tell it. And you tell something a few times, and after it's told about 3-4 times, it's already changed its nature pretty well altogether. And we got to be careful about that. Amen. Use our tongue to praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to bring it to a close. Got some more I wanted to give you, but I want to baptize tonight. But I don't want to stay a babe in Christ. I want to grow up. And I don't want my tongue used for the wrong. I want to use it for right and glorify God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege tonight we have to be in the house of God. Lord, these things we've talked about, some here tonight, maybe there's something in their lives that they need help with. Lord, some here tonight maybe need to get saved, born in the family of God. They know they need Jesus. They know they need a Savior. Father, help them to yield themselves and come by faith and trust Christ. I pray for those who realize in their life that as a Christian person, they're living a defeated life, not living in victory. I pray they come, let you help them. I pray for those tonight that are being baptized, and there may be some here tonight that have never been baptized, that you're speaking to their heart. Then, Lord, I pray for those here tonight that they realize that they need to grow up as a Christian. And, Father, help them, I pray, to bring their lives under control by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then the tongue, that we may control it by your grace and by your help. Father, tonight, you know what we need in this service and this invitation. We give it to you. And, Father, I ask that your will be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.